Turn with me to the book of Mark. Chapter 3. Beginning at verse 20. The Gospel of Mark, verse 20 of chapter 3. Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And if you'd move with me to verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. He looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." May the Lord bless us with understanding. I pray that He works in our hearts and lives through this sharing of His Word. Jesus, who is just beginning His public ministry, has yet another crowd to gather around Him. The people are eager to see the miraculous signs and to hear this authoritative teaching. This authoritative teaching that is so unlike the obscure rhetoric that these people have heard. People crowd around him, pushing their way into the house where he and his disciples have gone. The mass of people is so large and so tightly packed that they can't even enjoy their meal. From the looks of it, Jesus' public ministry is starting well. However, his family has a different view of things. For them, Jesus is not the latest wonder to appear in Israel. Rather, he is their son. He is their brother. But did they really know him? According to the text, they think he's out of his mind. He is out of his mind, and they go to take charge, to take hold of him. But his mother and brothers do not even go into the house. Instead, they stand outside and they send someone else in to get him. And at that point, Jesus calmly but pointedly denies them. "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here. "Are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Well, this is a shocking statement. To hear the Lord Jesus Christ so blatantly and openly deny his own mother. How could Jesus do such a thing? How could he turn his back on those cared for him all his life? The fact is, it was not Jesus who turned his back on his family, but it was his family who had turned from him. Apparently, they had not known him that well after all. They simply could not picture the oldest son. They simply could not picture their brother as a popular spiritual leader. They did not yet understand him to be the very Son of God. Remember, this is early in Jesus' public ministry. They did not yet know him. But all too sadly, Jesus knew why they were there. He knew why his family did not know him. Now, later on, some of them, even his mother, became some of his most ardent followers. But not now. Not here. Not at this point. They did not support him, and as the text tells us, they went to take charge of him. Perhaps some of you have some experience. Perhaps some of you have had your family, the people you grew up with, turn their backs on you. Maybe they turned their backs on you when you went in a different direction. Perhaps your family did not understand you when you thought it necessary to stand up for the truth and take a position. If you're one of these, then you know the pain that Jesus is experiencing here. When the family, the ones you think would be so close, actually are the ones the most distant. You may know the feeling of deep pain that David wrote about in Psalm 46. Psalms 46 reads, David's writing, he says, "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." For many, rejection by family is a crushing blow. Some people are never quite over the experience. Many give up because of the pressure a family puts on. Many will give up the new life they had set for themselves and run back to their family, seemingly with their tail tucked between their legs, humiliated, defeated. Others will continue on that unapproved path, but they carry the scars. They carry the raw and painful emotion of knowing that they may be out there alone. For those of us whose life decisions and God's call carries them away from their families, Jesus presents here in this passage another, more emotionally helpful course for us. There may be times we leave our family behind, but that does not mean that we must be forever without a family. Even as members of his biological family were turning their backs on him, Jesus was building a new spiritual family. The members of this new family were gathered close around him, not standing outside, not standing safely at a distance. They were in close. And this physical distance from his biological family showed that emotional separation. In opposition to the position his family took, these that he is now accepting as his friends showed their acceptance by their closeness. This is his family. These people sitting in this circle, these are his brothers. These are his sisters. And from Jesus' own lips, these are his mother. If we have experienced the painful position of having to leave our biological family behind, we too can build a new family. If our family does not share in the truths of Jesus Christ, we can find those who do. And in that, we can build a new spiritual family. I know this is a sensitive subject for some of you, because I know that you, many of you, consider this church and the people of this church to be your second family, if not your first family. These are the people with whom you can share your beliefs. These are the people who understand you. These are the people who accept and support you. These are the people who will be with you in the course that you have taken. Now, I know this is probably not the Mother's Day sermon many of you expect to hear on this annual holiday. But you see, a spiritual life is much, much greater and much, much larger and extends much, much beyond the physicalness of this life. We must understand that we are a spiritual people. Our biological relationships, they are not primary, but are secondary when we approach it from a spiritual aspect. Our biological family relationships are like a womb in which we spend our early formative years, and their influence is critical. The biological family is the covenantal means by which God intends for us to learn who He is. Our biological families are also that covenantal means by which we are to be taught the Christian faith. Our mothers are to teach us God. Our mothers are to show us Jesus Christ. Our mothers are to show us how to live a Christian life. We are not to leave it to our children's own choice. That's what the covenant means. We will always have the mark of our biological family. We will always have the mark of our brothers and sisters. We will always have the mark of our moms and dads in us, no matter how deeply buried. Yet we are not primarily biological beings. We live in this body only for a few decades, but at some point, we all know, we're going to leave this physicalness. We're going to leave this body. And when we leave this body, we will never come back. This life is done. But then at that point, our true life, the one you were originally designed to have, will in fact begin. And that blessed life will not last a decade, or 7 or 8 or 9. It will not last a century. It will not last a millennium. But that next life that we have, that we share with our brothers and sisters and mothers, will last for all eternity. In that life, we will not have the physical body developed in our mother's womb, but we will have a body that is developed, that is built, that is crafted by the very hands of God Almighty. And our families will not be determined by our blood relationships, but by our spiritual. And we too can claim Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as our father. And Jesus was speaking of these spiritual relationships when he looked at those seated around him, and he said, here are my brothers and sisters. And please note, he went further and said, here are my mothers. And in this statement, this gives us the key to how we can become brothers and sisters to Christ. If we've had to leave our family behind, it may be because we don't share their values anymore. I know many of you have had to say to your moms and to your dads, I believe differently. I believe the Scriptures point out differently. And there has been anger. There has been confusion. There have been questions. Many of you have asked, how am I to honor my father and my mother according to the Scriptures if they are not leading me in a Christian way? That is a very difficult question. It's an even more difficult answer. You honor from a distance. But we cannot condone sin. And sometimes the answer is as simple as that. And even that's not simple. And please note this. In this passage, the Lord is pointing out that we are not only sharing spiritual values in word. Remember the sermon last week that we are to show our love not only in words, but in action. Jesus is saying the same thing here. He said, we are not only to speak of our spiritual differences or speak of our spiritual beliefs and accommodate those who have a like mind. We are to act on them. Jesus acted. At this point in time, his mother and his brothers did not understand him and who he was. And so here in this text, he flatly denies them. Him being God, He knows, He knew how it would turn. But at this point in time, He had to act. So acting on your Christian beliefs, living them out, even to the point of separation from your earthly family, this is what makes you a member of the family of God. It is more than words. It is more than having on your resume that you attend the First Baptist Church of whatever town. It means acting on your Christian beliefs. James said, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. In short, he said, faith without works is dead. How do we become part of the family of the Lord? He tells us in this passage. Jesus tells us very plainly, we become the Lord's family by doing His will. Doing His will. If, like Jesus' biological family, we turn our backs on the wonderful preaching, if we turn our backs on God's teaching, if we turn our backs on the healing that He wants to do in our bodies, in our lives, in our spiritual lives, then we will stand outside of His family. However, if we are willing to accept the teachings of the Lord, if we are willing to put them in practice, then through those actions, then through us living out our Christian beliefs, we spiritually move into the household of God. And we can say, just like Jesus, pointing to the people around us, here are my brothers. Here is my sister. Here is my mother. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and we do this to show our love to those far earthly mothers. I have been so tremendously blessed with a mother that is tremendous. But also on this Mother's Day, we honor those who are not our biological mothers, but yet show us that incredible motherly love that sometimes is even more pure. Thank you. I told my mom this morning, thank you that you showed me what it means when John said, God is love. My mom has loved me through some incredible times. She even prayed for my motorcycle. She didn't let me catch her doing it, but she did. In the family of Jesus Christ, we begin to experience the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what it means to share the love with each other. In that experience, share love, care, compassion. And our moms that show us that first, because she wants us, God wants us to understand what that is. Because when we begin to see it coming from Jesus Christ, then it's not foreign. It's not foreign. My mom first showed me a love that now I see more purely in Jesus Christ. It is so much deeper through Jesus Christ. And as we spoke of a couple of weeks ago, sharing that love is a note of assurance. If you can share God's love with someone sacrificially, unselfishly, then you are assured of being within the family of God yourself. And that bloodline will last for all eternity. Who is my mom? I entitled the sermon, Who is my mom? Well, as I've said, I know my mom well. Eleanor taught me, just as Timothy's mom taught him, the Scriptures. She is one who loved me endlessly and still does. But she also taught me something else. She taught me that one day I must leave her home. She taught me that one day I had to go and have a family of my own. And that is true love, moms. That's tough, but that's true love. She told me that I had to go and create a family of my own. But then she also told me when I started seminary that I would take on another family. And that's you. My mom is New Sterling's greatest advocate. She is your greatest ambassador. She prays for you and me, I think, daily. I can't be with them. And you know these last couple of weeks have been tough. I can't be with them because my place is here. And my mother insists that it be that way. Who is my mom? Well, as I told her this morning, I said, "Mom, you are more my sister than my mom." And she immediately understood. She is my spiritual sister because we both are born of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We share a common faith. We share a common father. And the beauty of it is that we will forever share a common eternity. Who is your mom? Who is your mom? You know her to be the one who birthed you, the one who fed you, the one who clothed you, the one who mended the wounds, the one who listened to your stories, the one who shared the trials, the one who wiped the tears, the one who even laughed at your jokes. And that's a challenge. But your mom may also be the one of your family who loves you with the eternal, endless love that Jesus Christ speaks of. I want to thank all of you for opening your hearts and your homes to those who need that kind of love, who has not gotten it where it should have been first. This church is filled with women who have extended their home boundaries to include those not born in their home, but yet love them and teach them, even discipline them, just like a mom. Just like a mom. We love our mothers. We don't say it enough. Sometimes I miss mine because we can have some awesome conversations. But I know, just as she knows, my place is here. And she knows I love her. For those of you who are not the biological moms, thank you again for sharing your love. Because we know what love is. We know what the love of Jesus Christ is because you've shown us. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all of you.